Let us turn to the New Testament, to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 28. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 28. Where we read of Moses, we may read verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith, verse 28, chapter 11 in Hebrews, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. We were speaking on previous occasions concerning this eminent man of God in the Old Testament, Moses, the one who was brought so close to God as to bear in his own face something of the glory of the one who was speaking to him in the mountain, Mount Sinai, and delivering the law, the one whose name is upon the law of God in the Old Testament, delivered on Mount Sinai. It's the Mosaic law, because it was Moses that brought it down from out of the cloud and out of the shining of the glory of God to the children of Israel, and it is with us to this day. A child of God, called of God from his youngest days, one who was, as we already observed in a previous occasion, beautiful to God, set apart by God in the minds and hearts of his own parents, so that when Pharaoh would have done away with him, as all of the male children in Egypt were to, the Hebrew children in Egypt were to be done away with, yet they, having some understanding, a spiritual understanding of the blessedness of the coming of this child, preserved a child, and he was kept for a time at home and then put in the ark and put among the flags of, and the rushes of the River Nile, and then taken into the home of the princess, and brought up as a child and a prince in the house of Pharaoh, then having to flee because he had killed an Egyptian, fleeing the face of Pharaoh, he spent another 40 years in the wilderness looking after sheep, a shepherd, learning humility that he might look after the sheep of the flock of the Lord, humbly and patiently and earnestly, in that same wilderness, taking them through the wilderness. He is called of God, as you remember, out of the burning bush, bush burning and not consumed, the eternal God, in a outpouring of favour and remembrance. I've remembered my covenant. That's what we're reading and singing of in Psalm 105. The Lord remembered his covenant. It is a prayer put into the heart of his people that the Lord would remember his covenant. For all things are possible when the Lord remembers his covenant. Of grace, and of faith, and of new obedience, and of safety, and of strength where there is weakness, safety where there is danger, liberty where there is bondage, power where there is weakness. Remember thy covenant, Lord. The Lord remembered his covenant, and he sent Moses into Egypt in order to lead his people out of slavery in which they were, out from under the power of Pharaoh, who had a mind to kill them all, who was afraid of them, who had forgotten the indebtedness of the nation of Egypt to the wisdom and grace of Joseph, and now had nothing but enmity for the Lord's chosen people, the children of Israel. So Moses is sent. He goes reluctantly, it would appear, but he goes. And he goes with the message of the Lord, that the word of deliverance is by his word. It's no rumor he has picked up from some passing Bedouin in the desert. It's no word of any king or prince or wise man of this world. He got it from the one who inhabited the burning bush. And it has all of it. It has the entirety of the promise of deliverance comes with the authority of the I Am, underwritten by the eternal God who cannot lie. That's a picture of the gospel coming to sinners, a picture of the Lord himself standing at the door of the heart saying, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open unto me, I will come in unto him and sup with him and he with me." A purpose of reconciliation, purpose of converse, a purpose of friendship as between God and man. And that's through the one who said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The I Am of the burning bush, coming in the fullness of the gospel and in all the promises of God, being yea and amen in him. Having their beginning and end, he is the beginning, he is the end, he is the first and he is the last. And he standing at the door of sinners, I stand at the door and knock. Like Moses going down to Egypt, and when there is any doubt or debate as to the veracity of what was being said, it's just a rumor. Can it be true? See the power of Pharaoh, see his armies, see our weakness. We haven't one soldier among us, and he's got an army that has vanquished powerful neighboring armies, and was a fear and a dread to nations if Egypt came against him with his charioteers and his horses and his spears and swords. What are we to stand up against him for a moment? But the I Am said it. The one of the burning bush said it. What do we say of our sins? They're a reality. Whosoever committeth sin is a slave. Just as the children of Israel were the slaves of Pharaoh. Whosoever committeth sin is the slave of sin. Who shall deliver? Who has the power? Who has the authority? What word may we have recourse to? Well, Jesus is the Word made flesh. He dwelt among us, John said. He was God and became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's the one in whom all these promises are. Therefore, we are to believe. We have in the words before us here an example of it. How gracious the Lord is, helping our infirmities, assisting our weaknesses, setting parables and life and the lives of the faithful before us to encourage us to put one step after another. Just as you would teach a child to walk, holding his hand, watching where he puts his feet, then encouraging him to put his foot in another step forward, that he might walk safely. So it is in the word of God to the children of men, ignorant sinners as we are, children of understanding, wayward as the psalmist says, I like a lost sheep went astray. We must be taught where to put our feet, following in the footsteps of the flock. Well, here we have the footsteps of the flock and this notable believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Through faith, he, that is Moses, kept the Passover, the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. The circumstances of the beginning of this nation, they had not been a people. The people were reckoning on important nations at that time before the deliverance of the children of Israel. They would not have mentioned Israel. They were not a people. They were just subject entirely, day by day, to Pharaoh. They were just occupying Goshen in Pharaoh's land in Egypt. But this day and this event, this Passover time, they became a people. That's what Peter says is true of all of the children of God. They were no people. No trace of God within them. Search as you would, you find nothing of the mind of God, savingly. Nothing of the love of God. Nothing of the law of God, savingly in their hearts. No spiritual exercises belonging to them, but they became a people. And the manner in which they became a people, the manner in which every sinner is saved by grace becomes a saved sinner and a child of grace is set before us in the manner in which the children of Israel became a people. And that was the faith that Moses had when he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. He kept it by faith. The first matter there, and that which was true of them, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. That was the destroying angel passing through the land. The Passover, coming to one, entering into the house, the firstborn is killed. Coming out again, coming to another house, finding the blood upon the door, passing over. Not entering in, passing over. The blood, the shield, the sprinkled blood, the shield for the Israelite. Passing over again to another, no blood upon the door, the destroying angel entering in and destroying, leaving pain and sorrow and death, alienation, tears, groans behind, and passing on. Passover. Through faith, lest he that destroyed firstborn. That ought to be a concern for you and for me. The judgment day is coming. We've been reminded of the reality of death often enough in these past few months. None could escape. None can escape, for it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. The judgment. The coming of the destroying angel. Coming of the power and authority of death. As far as man is concerned, an irresistible power. Rising from the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, death passing upon all men, for all have sinned. As it is appointed unto men once to die, so Christ died. That's the answer. That's the Passover. And to all that look for him shall he come again a second time without sin unto salvation. A few words concerning the first matter here, the institution. Well, it was the institution of the Passover. This was the first day. This was the beginning of days. It's what it says in the Exodus, the very beginning of that chapter, chapter 12. This is the beginning of days. This is as though you were just born that day. As though it was the first day of a new year. As though it was the first time the child had taken a breath and cried. As though it was the first day, as it was said, in the village or in the town or in the family, and the message sent from one to another, wherever the family be around the world, why there's a child born. A new life. All the hopes, desires, prayers, expectations, centering around a child born, arising in the hearts of men. This is the beginning of days. Ye must be born again. A beginning of days. The institution was set up, and that was the Passover. They were to continue this to all generations. The animal, the lamb was taken, or the kid of the goats was taken, and was to be kept for some days, and then taken and killed. That was a command. There was no way forward apart from the death of the lamb. Jesus came in the fullness of time. God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. He was born in Bethlehem, as we're observing to the children this morning in the Sabbath school. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes, no fine clothes for him. He was the Prince from eternity. He was the I Am, before whom the angels cover their faces and cover their feet and cry, Holy, Holy, Holy. Before whom we read in John chapter 13, that godly man, Isaiah, fell down and worshipped when he saw him and bowed in his felt unholiness before this eternal holiness. He was born in a stable, wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger. His name was, he shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He grew up in Nazareth, lived out his days in this world, just like the lamb that was chosen as the Passover lamb. This lamb was kept aside and separate. It was, in one sense, exactly like other lambs. It was a lamb, or it was a kid of the goats, a young one of the goats, but it was kept separate. And Christ in his time here was bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. True humanity was his, soul and body. But separate still, such an high priest becomes us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. And in the fullness of time, at a certain time set apart by the Lord himself, this lamb was to be slain. The blood put in a bowl, receptacle, and a hyssop, which was a low-growing bush. A branch of the hyssop would be taken and dipped in the blood. And using the hyssop, the door posts were sprinkled with blood. And the top of the door lintel was also sprinkled with blood. None on the doorstep, none on the threshold, but above and on both sides the blood was put, and the door of the believing Israelite. Here we read of the faith of Abraham, the faith of Moses, and it's commended and celebrated and remembered. By faith Moses, when he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, he kept the Passover by faith. Faith was like the hyssop. Rested upon the blood, rested upon the finished work of Christ. His work was not finished until his blood was shed. That was the great purpose of his coming into this world. He shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Not merely show a way of salvation, not merely exhort people to be better people, not merely talk mere words. It's the prophets of the world, that's all they can do. But to save with an everlasting salvation. And in order to save with an everlasting salvation, he must himself die. He must shed his blood. He must pay the ransom price. No open doors for escape, no safe houses to dwell in, no real prospect of seeing the morning light apart from the shed blood. No safety. Anyone that night in their beds for rest without the blood upon the door, they were sleeping the sleep of a fool, an empty fool, empty-headed fool. That's how it is as far as the sinner is concerned who is out of Christ. That is what the Lord himself said to that worldly man taken up with his riches, thinking there was security and safety and honour and true riches in the fruit of the field. He went to bed with this difficulty and problem, and he couldn't sleep because of it. What will I do with all the fruit I have in my field? I haven't enough room for it. What shall I do? What shall I do? Then he said, I will build a bigger barn. It all will be well. I'll have room for the fruit of the field. And having so decided, and having rested upon his own wisdom and his own devices and his own plans, he makes to go to sleep, but the voice of the Lord comes and says, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee, not much of the riches of this world. That's not what God is looking for, the riches of grace. It's the riches from heaven. It's the heart, a storehouse for the goodness of God. How great is the goodness thou to them that fears thee keepst in store. No rest apart from resting in the finished work of Christ, the blood and righteousness of Jesus. Thou fool, thou fool. How foolish we are. The blood was upon the door. The blood was applied by the hyssop. It would appear from the outcome of things and the faithful record we have of the journey of the children of Israel that many put the blood upon the door but did not believe. Some carnal fear, the power of example, the authority of the word that came from Moses. Well, Moses said it. Moses said it, so I'll do it. That's not faith. To copy another, to take another's word for it. That's not faith. Take it as the word of God, directly from him. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. God said it, the I Am said it. The one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man travels to the New Testament Canaan through the wilderness of this world. No man undertakes the very journey of faith. No man takes the very first step in the journey of faith except by Christ and through the power of the blood of the Lamb. That's what marked the passage of the children of Israel from Egypt to Canaan. A great beginning. How important beginnings are. This is the first day of the year with you. Never mind what the world says. They keep their own days, their high days, their holy days. They worship their own gods. They walk according to their own wisdom. They walk on in pride and in the light of their own hearts, which is darkness. But this will be the first day for you. That's what the gospel says too. The first day, the day of your birth, you must be born again, Nicodemus, with the power of the Spirit, by the dying love of the Saviour. As the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so must Christ be lifted up. And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. The beginning of days, through the power of the blood of Christ applied to the soul. He believed. He had faith. Well, unbelief would say, what value is it? Fear is just as strong. Whether the lamb dies or lives, whether the blood is put up on the door post and the lintels, or is not put on the door post and the lintels. Pharaoh's army is strong. Pharaoh's will is implacable. What is this? Putting the blood upon the door. Why, if it had been some of these miracles that had been performed, you could see how the power of the Lord was on the side of Moses, turning the water into blood. Why, they worshipped the river Nile. It was a god, one of their gods. And now God, the true and the living God, came and turned the water that they worshipped into blood, made a mockery of their idolatry. He that sits in heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall scorn them all and all their hollow idols. But to put the blood upon the door, who is going to be impressed with that? What change is that going to be? They'll all go to bed just as they usually do and sleep their sleep and get up in the morning and carry on with their work and their oppression of the children of Israel. As an outward sign, as a mere outward sign, it was just the blood of a lamb. It would not commend itself to the wisdom of man, or the pride of man, or the reasonableness of man. How can that make any difference to Pharaoh? He didn't move when the hailstones were sent and the boils that were produced in the, one of the plagues, and when the darkness came. He relented for a short time, and then he went back to his own hard-hearted refusal. I will not let this people go. If such miracles didn't move him, what difference would the death of a lamb and the application of the blood to the house make? But Moses believed. Many passed by the cross, and they mocked, and they said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." But the thieves on both sides of him said, "Save thyself and us." But to those that looked according to the promise, "They shall look upon him whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him." Here was a beginning of days. Here was the very beginning of the fountain of life. Here was the beginning of the fountain opened for sin and for uncleanness. Here was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, no sinner saved, no brand plucked from the burning, no redemption of one soul apart from the blood and righteousness of Jesus, the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Moses wasn't alone. Abel was there, forever Moses was. Abraham was there, the father of the faithful. Isaac, Jacob, Joshua, every sinner saved by grace, rejoicing in the blood and righteousness of Jesus and trusting in him, whether in prospect, as the Old Testament saints were, they're waiting for the coming of the Lord, trusting in his righteousness and grace, or in looking back to that same great event, the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Here is the safety of those who go to their rest. There was the blood upon the door. Tonight when the destroying angel will come, but the blood is already upon the door. Safety assured, a sure and certain covenant, ordered in all things and sure. Though my house be not so with God, David said, another of whom it was true that the blood was upon the door of his heart. Though my house be not so with God, yet has he made with me a covenant, well ordered and sure. He was about to close his eyes in death. The night of death was to overtake him, just as the night overtook the children of Israel in the land of Egypt, and the destroying angel was to come, and the night was to be upon them. But he closed his eyes in that night of death with all security. With all security. A covenant well ordered in all things and sure. That's what the blood upon the door spoke of. You remember in the New Testament when what was portrayed by the Passover came truly to pass. Jesus died. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world died. The Lamb of Calvary died. The one who was commended as the Lamb of God by John the Baptist died. At his baptism, the baptism of Jesus, the hands of John the Baptist, the heavens were opened. The voice of the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And the Spirit descended upon, abode upon Jesus. And John witnessed to that generation, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I received that sign," he said. "The God said it to me, the one upon whom the Spirit descends and rests upon, abides upon. He is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus and his righteousness." By faith, Moses. That's a great wonder of this faith that Moses had, which is commended time and again in this 11th chapter of Hebrews, commended through the whole of the Old Testament. His line followed as a royal line. You know, kings, some take great pride in tracing their blood through a royal line back to a king or a queen. So they're part of a dynasty. So they're set apart. Well, the royal line which sets men apart as far as heaven is concerned is faith. By faith, by faith, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith Moses kept the Passover. By faith Rahab, the harlot. They're of the royal line. There is the blue blood of heaven within them. By faith. So they kept the Passover. It was an act of faith. As we already observed, what security could blood sprinkled upon the door give anyone? How would this be a beginning of days for the children of Israel? Would Pharaoh sleep less well in his bed because of his blood upon the door of the children of Israel? What soldier would tremble at the sight of the blood of a lamb? By faith, that's a great exercise of the heart that sets the sinner apart. By faith, trusting in the Lord. That was the obedience of faith, whatever the outward appearances were, concerning Pharaoh, implacable as he was against the children of Israel. And unchanging as he was in his enmity towards them, powerful as he was sitting upon his throne, there was this belief, this will be the beginning of days. By faith. So he took the blood and he sprinkled the door. He commanded the children of Israel so to do. There was to be no blood upon the doorstep. Oh, they weren't to trample upon the blood. That would be a very solemn matter. We read of in the New Testament that where the blood of the sacrifice was despised or trampled upon, there was no remedy but the death of the one who had so despised the blood of the sacrifice. And the Apostle Paul goes on to apply that truth of the ceremonial law, of the Old Testament Mosaic law, to the present situation of sinners in view of the blood of Christ. If under the Old Testament, the blood of an animal shed for a sacrifice was despised, and being despised, the person doing the despising was punished, how much surer vengeance is meted upon the sinner in the New Testament who despises not the blood of a lamb or a kid or a goat or an ox or a sheep, but the blood of Christ himself. A sure and certain looking for of judgment and fiery indignation. There's no more reconciliation. There is no other basis for reconciliation. There is no other sealing of any other covenant of peace with man apart from that which is sealed by the blood of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, who said in the night in which he was betrayed, taking bread and wine after they had supped, and after he had given thanks, he broke the bread and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you." And in like manner also he took the cup after he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament, the new covenant, the sealing of the covenant, the power of the covenant, the wealth that was poured into that covenant, the security that was poured into that covenant of grace. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might become rich." So he sealed the covenant with his own blood. Now, if that covenant, if that blood is despised, the covenant is despised, and to what other covenant will you flee? Under what other covenant will you have converse with heaven? Under what covenant will you direct the attention of the judge of the whole earth when the time of judgment comes? No other safety, no other covenant, just the two covenants, the covenant of works. And we are all sinners. We are all brought in guilty before God. And the covenant of grace, which is sealed by the blood of the Lamb of God, taketh away the sin of the world. The blood was not upon the door, upon the threshold. They didn't stand upon the blood. It was around them. It was over them. It was on both sides of them. It was a secure and sure and certain place of rest. But they did not stand upon it. By faith, Moses kept a Passover. He was obedient. That's faith. Obedient. The man in the temple who had the withered arm, the Lord says, stand forth so that everyone can see. There's no deceit here, no double dealing, none of the works of the father of lies. Now then, stretch forth your hand. And he stretches forth his hand, whole as the other. The infant is, the child is, has died and is lying in bed, her body lying and remains in the bed and where she passed away. Jesus comes, Jesus takes her by the hand and says, "My maid, I say unto thee, arise." She arises. Power of the blood of Christ, power of his word. He believed and he was obedient. Many things concerning this Passover which tell us something of the righteousness of Christ and the trouble and sorrow and death that he suffered. He was the God's Lamb from the foundation of the world. He was without blemish or spot or any such thing. And he was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It must be that he would die. His blood was shed. Life was in the blood. He must suffer death. He suffered many things, but he must suffer death because the sins of those for whom he came to suffer and die deserve death. Nothing else would do. That angel of death was going through the land with his drawn sword. The Egyptians had this desire under Pharaoh to do away with the children of Israel. The plan was that every male child as it was born would be cast into the river Nile and drowned. And now the angel of death comes to their dwelling. And you remember what happened to Pharaoh and his army in the end of the day? They pursued the children of Israel out of Egypt, sought to corner them between the mountains and the Red Sea. The Lord delayed their coming by descending in a cloud between the Egyptians and the children of Israel. Light as far as the children of Israel were concerned, darkness as far as Pharaoh was concerned. Darkness again, under the power of the Prince of Darkness, darkness themselves. The children of Israel pass over the Red Sea falls to this side and that side. The path is created for them. Easy to pass over. Even the little children led by the hand can pass over in a path, safe path, coming out to the other side, standing up on the banks of the Red Sea, looking back on the path that they have come, and here the children of Pharaoh come. The enmity is still in their hearts, the oppression is still upon them, the spirit of the oppressor is still upon them, still an enmity against the light. Children of darkness, having something of the enmity of the Prince of Darkness in their hearts. Why, they were going to cast the children of Israel, their children, into the river Nile. But now they themselves are overwhelmed by the waters of the Red Sea, taken away in the height of their pride, taken away as rebels caught red-handed by the king against whom they had rebelled. Taken away in the very act of seeking to wound the body of Christ. the angel of death. They were less guarding them from the angel of death. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith, he forsook Egypt. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. In the case of all the Lord's people, the sword of divine justice fell upon the Lamb of God. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. That's what happened to the Lord. He was smitten on Calvary. There was the sword in the hand of his father. And for the sins of his people, for he himself was without sin, harmless, holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. But he bore the smiting of the sword of divine justice upon his own body and soul upon the tree. It fell upon him. It was his blood that was shed. And that saving, all efficacious blood is sprinkled upon the souls of his people. That's why they're saved. Not that they're wiser than anyone else, not that they're more holy than anyone else. They're the first to confess they have sinned in their first covenant head, and they're sinners still. But the punishment fell upon Jesus, and their trust is in him. And as the believing children of Israel, Moses and all who followed him, slept peacefully in their beds until the midnight cry came, so it is as far as the child of God is concerned. By faith, resting upon the finished work of Christ, he is their hope. I will both lay me down in peace and quiet sleep will take, for thou, Lord, only me to rest and safety, Lord, dost make. That's what the children of Israel, that's what Moses was saying. That's what the believing, that's what the believer will say still. We commend the exercise of faith. It's a command. Do it. Do it. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. This is the command of God, that you believe in Jesus Christ whom he has sent. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Faith resting upon the finished work of the Redeemer. Following in the footsteps of the flock. So it is written here concerning Moses. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. May the Lord add his blessing. Let us pray. Eternal and ever blessed One, look down upon us in mercy. Make these things real in our own soul's experience, that we might rest the weight of our souls upon the finished work of the Redeemer. Take us to our homes in safety. Bless the worship here this evening. Pardon our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen.